Mr. Breskin, I'm going to ask you to tell me your address and telephone number so we can test the recorder.
Good. 6630 Northumberland Street. And the phone number is 422-5030.
Okay, thank you. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Selma Weiss and also Ruth Adelson. My respondent's name is Joseph Breskin. The date is November the 5th, 1993. Mr. Breskin, you were talking to us before about your diet that you think helped you live a long, healthy life, so now you can tell us about your diet.
I prepared nothing about my diet. I have some notes on the old days of coming over here to America, and at that time it was common for the family to come separately, like the father coming earlier. I think that's what happened in my family, but I'm not altogether sure because I came over here when I was 2 years old.
Do you remember the approximate date that you came over?
1904, yes.
Okay.
And I was, as I mentioned, 2 years of age, and of course I know very little about the trip or what happened, but I think my mother then brought the children. There were three of us. My older sister and my brother Sam, and we arrived here and then came to Pittsburgh because an uncle lived here in Pittsburgh, and that's where it started. And my father became an expressman and bought a horse and wagon at that time. His work was to collect the merchandise packages from the owners, from the wholesalers on Fifth Avenue, and deliver them to various parts of the city, like North Side area, Ohio Street, Woods Run area in the North Side section, Carson Street on the South Side, and beyond Carson Street, the McKees Rocks area. And surprisingly, this horse that he purchased, I recall clearly, he was a remarkable horse, only understood Yiddish, not English, and he seemed to have a sense of direction that was outstanding, in that you could fall asleep on the wagon, which he often did, and from the McKees Rocks area, the horse would just, without any direction, without any remarks by my father, who also slept part of the way back home, the horse would just travel all this distance without instruction or without guidance and come right to the stable. We had no regulations at that time, and the stable was right adjoining the house. It was not governed by this environmental control that we have now, and that's where we lived for about 30 years, and not quite that long, I'll take that back. And in about the early 20s, we moved to Bedford Avenue in Pittsburgh and lived there for another dozen years. One incident was that a heavy black man broke into our apartment, and my older sister was attacked, and fortunately no serious injury was caused. And then there's a lot of the Jewish families did. We moved to the East End area, and then eventually then lived there for a long time. My dad was one of the founders of the B'nai Israel Synagogue that was constructed around 1920. Philip Friedman was the architect. Interestingly, about the round synagogue that was constructed, Philip Friedman, a personal friend of mine, who was a vegetarian, incidentally, now that you might speak of that a little, moved to Arizona. But the synagogue was designed in such a way that the dome was about 64 feet above the floor. Quite an outstanding structure. Not familiar, I suggest what you two might be interested in. I'm reminiscing about the synagogues that we had on Hill District and the businesses. My one sister worked for Israel Abrams at the Hebrew Institute for about 10 years, and that was an interesting phase. She was the typist, the stenographer there, the Hebrew Institute was, of course, the center of all the Jewish groups, and that was sold in about 1960. It was formerly the home of the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh, and it was on Wiley Avenue near DeVilliers Street, which part of which joined Dinwiddie Street. There was bottling works there, and the Aaron Kaufman settlement was two blocks away. There was a hub of all the Jewish activities. That's where I happened to play a little basketball years ago. And then the Hebrew Institute moved to Pittsburgh, to eventually to Squirrel Hill, and was sold in 1964.
Could I interrupt you for 1 minute?
Could you?
What country did your parents come from?
Oh, Kiev, Gubernia in Russia. Kiev, Russia.
Spell this.
K-I-E-V.
Okay. And also, what were your parents' names?
My mother's name was Kaminsky. It's C-O-M-E-N-S-K-Y.
What, C-O?
M-I-N-S-K-Y, Kaminsky.
First name?
E-S-S-I-E, S-E, Kaminsky.
Okay. And your father?
Benjamin Breslin. Bear, B-E-R-E.
And another question I have, you said your father was an expressman.
What is an
expressman?
Well, he's the express business is when you pick up something and you express it to another area, I guess. You deliver the packages from the wholesalers to the retail stores. the business of the average little merchant in Pittsburgh area at that time was to open up a store, a clothing store, workman's store, and in these various areas. And that's, that was his work for many, many years. And in 1932, there were four deaths in our family. My brother Sam, sick the night before, and passed away the next morning with pneumonia around 1932. My sister Dora died in New York. She was a school teacher, age 21, high school teacher, and she died of a spleen condition. And my dad died having a cerebral hemorrhage, unfortunately. You wanna...
Who was the fourth? Said,
well, there was
Sam and Dora and Burl.
Sam and Dora and my father and my brother. Sam was my brother. I would say three deaths and a little.
I guess it's three.
Three deaths.
You mentioned the B'nai Israel Synagogue. Did you go to Sunday school there, and were you bar mitzvah there?
I'm almost sure I was, because no, it wasn't there, because we didn't move to East Liberty till about 1920, so evidently on the Shara Torah around Caldwell Street and the Beit HaMidrash Shul was near that area of Caldwell and Miller Street. Okay. Can you pardon me just a
I think that
we're doing great.
Oh, yeah,
and we have a list of questions, and she's working her way through it.
Yeah,
a lot of the
things you're just going through, you know, and that's what we're interested in. What you
and then once we go through all the questions, whenever we're done, then we may think about some of your answers, and you.
I see.
And you may have something that you didn't say enough on, and then we go back and we perfect it.
All right, then you can go too. Perhaps I should answer your question till I warm up to what we're talking about.
No, this is fine.
It's fine.
Me, that's exactly what we want, is your whole history.
And it's oral, so you just talk. It's not like you can, you know.
Oh, I see. I don't have to have it regulated in certain paragraphs.
No. It's called oral, so... You know, that when I'm done with it, there'll be like highlights, and you might have talked one day on something, and then we came back to it another day.
Oh, I see.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Then I
have a few things here that we wanted to know about your, and I'm sure you'll tell us about your life in Israel. And I understand you were in Camp Elwood, so we'll get to that later, too.
Oh, I see. All right.
Which you probably have written down in there anyway.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you're doing fine. That's just, whatever you're saying is just the kind of things that we were going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So, I was asking you about where you were saying about where you went to the synagogue in the Hill District. That's where we were. Did you put that back?
If we could talk about the shuls there.
Okay, good.
And I'll look at my notes there, not altogether in the best order, but the interestingly about my sister Pearl, who is quite an active girl, and she even purchased or arranged to get a buy a typewriter for the Hebrew Institute when it was situated on Wiley Avenue in the Hill District of Pittsburgh. This typewriter was designed for blind youngsters, and they could type right by feeling the keys of the typewriter, you see. So she installed that in the Institute. And the Hebrew Institute started in 1916. I recall from certain notes, the Beth Midrash Synagogue, the oldest synagogue, just celebrated its 115th birthday. It's now located around the 1200 block of Fifth Avenue, that small synagogue that we have in Pittsburgh. I donated the, my wife and I donated the water fountain, parents, that water fountain, so I just happen to remember from that, the beginning of it, the, when it first started. The, there was the Sharat Torah synagogue on Crawford Street near Miller Street. Which became pretty popular, now located in Squirrel Hill. The Mallinger Bottling Works factory was near Dinwiddie Street, which was the highlight of the Jewish residence at that time. The Hebrew Institute, as I mentioned, that was purchased about 1916 and later sold in 1944 for $25,000. I had a little connection with the new Hebrew Institute in Squirrel Hill in that Israel that Israel Abram called me when they moved to the Squirrel Hill area and asked my opinion. I happened to be in the construction and real estate business at that time, whether he should sell the two mansion large homes or remodel them. And in my opinion, took my advice, and he sold the two old houses. I felt that remodeling was more costly in all phases of construction than starting from new, and it, the new Hebrew Institute, which services I, which shul I belong to this day, proved a wise move. Looking back a little bit, we moved to 1801 Bedford Avenue, Pittsburgh, near Robert Street, where we first moved to coming to America in 18. number there was 1801 Bedford Avenue. I recall the exact location because of the sled riding track which ran from our home all the way down to Pittsburgh to the new building on Fifth and Grant Street. Mother was a very colorful lady. She was the one that started the evening classes for immigrants and was able to induce the city to have a school and class for elderly citizens, immigrants especially, and we had night school. She graduated from high school when she was about 50 years of age. Her work, like all mother's work, was to make wedding gowns, and she was a dressmaker, specialized principally in wedding gowns. She was also the one that started that organization. Sorry, I don't recall that name. Certain things I do remember when I was young. I started selling newspapers when I was about 9, 10, 11 years old. And always walked down. I remember some things. I remember going to the Pittsburgh Press office and observing a sign on the window of the Pittsburgh Press office, which was about 4 or 5 doors west of Wood Street. And in it, I remarked to myself, I'll never forget this. This was in 1912, and I was only 10 years of age. And there was a big sign, Titanic strikes iceberg. And then, interestingly, I got this And this is
a newspaper, April 16th, 1912, and the headlines are 1,302 lives lost when Titanic sank, 868 saved. And this is the original newspaper, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Could you have it? Is this, it's not even yellowed. Is it this a special wrapping on top of it that keeps it from yellowing?
There's a man in the business of antiques like that that is on Murray Avenue, corner Phillips, and he sells it just copies of that and copies of
It's not an original, it's a copy then.
That's a copy.
Oh, okay. Right.
But so I do remember something very vividly, especially the years at that time when I was about 6 years old. My dad took me to the first moving picture that was about 1907 or 1908, and I recall that very vividly, as I do remember seeing this sign on the Pittsburgh, on the press office. When I sold newspapers at that time, there were 4 newspapers in the city of Pittsburgh: Leader, Tele, Press, and Sun. You recall that something one could remember, but I said to myself, I'll never forget this sign, and sure enough, I haven't. Mm-hmm. Speaking of memory, maybe that's the key to remembering some things and not others. And I used to play basketball when my sister would come into the gym, my older sister. I remember her smiling and laughing, and she came with Jerome Edless of Edless Barber Supply. They were going together, and how she laughed when she saw me in my little uniform. I was embarrassed, I said, away.
Let me ask you something about your wife, what your wife's name is, and about your children. But I think that, why don't we only have a few minutes left.
Well, then we'll just turn it over.
You want to turn it over now? Or do you
want to just... No, just
do it. Okay. Could you tell me about your wife and your children?
Yes, Kitty was... she was...
What was her maiden name?
Kitty Breskin. Kathleen Breskin.
What was her maiden name? Do you remember?
You know, that's a pretty good question.
Okay, well, forget it. It's not. All right. Her name was Kathleen. Kitty Breskin.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the school teacher named her Kitty instead of the Jewish name she had at the time. And then we married when I was about 39 years old, and
how old was she?
She worked.
How old was she?
She was about 29. So. And she worked for the Army during the Second World War. She worked in one of the departments of the Army.
And what about your children?
Bertha Breskin became an Army, one of my younger sister became an Army major in the armed service during the Second World War.
Is this your daughter you're talking about?
My sister.
No, your daughters. I asked you about your daughters.
Oh, my daughter.
Or your two children. I don't know if they were daughters.
Well, later years, my two children were Ann Dora. Uh-huh. And
when was she born?
Ann Dora's 43 years of age now.
That's fine. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Okay. So she's 19.
And Bethy Breskin, Beth Ott, O-T-T, is about 39 now. So Kitty, my wife, decided that we should all go to Israel, and in 1964 we took a boat trip to Israel. She liked it so well, one of her very close friends by the name Apple, by the name of Applebaum, from Pittsburgh, whose parents were in the electronic business and did a lot of activity with Israel. Jack Applebaum and wife decided to move to Israel, and he became connected with the Army and supplies and so forth. He is still there and has a family of 12 children.
Jack Applebaum.
Jack Applebaum.
I don't think he doesn't have 12 children.